Here is your Bible question for today. When Jesus met with Peter on the Sea of Galilee, after they had brought their fishes in, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Here is the question. How many times did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Now the answer to that is found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And we'll read that answer in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now this is the question. How many times did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Well, the answer is right here. John chapter 21, 15 through 17. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these?" He said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Tend my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." So the answer to the question, how many times did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" And the answer to that is three times. Let me read to you from our Sunday school lesson, the one that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of April the 4th, 1926. Peter, as we know, was a leader, and at his suggestion, seven of them were together engaged in their former occupation. This they did not because they had abandoned hope or indifferent to what Jesus had directed them to do, but as a matter of useful employment until he should appear again. Probably they needed something for their own support. These apostles, they were practical men. In no sense is idleness the way to wait for Jesus. Jesus uses active, industrious, busy people to accomplish his work. Some of these disciples were doubtless at their own houses and very likely used to their own fishing boats, which they had left to follow Jesus. They toiled all night without catching anything. At the suggestion of Jesus, who was standing on the shore and whom they had not yet recognized, they cast the empty net on the right side of the boat and soon enclosed 153 great fishes, and for all there were so many, the net was not rent. John, with his quick perception, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And the still impulsive Peter girt his coat about him and cast himself into the sea to hasten to Jesus. They were about 100 yards from the land. The others dragged the net to the shore. When Peter sprang back, took hold of it, and drew it to land. So they all got out on the land to see a fire of coals, and there the fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus had done this, but while there were fish broiling, he directed them to bring up the ones they had caught. He practiced no deception. He then invited them all to take breakfast. And none of the disciples durst inquire of them, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. And that's where we have this conversation between Jesus and Peter. While all present were benefited by this appearance, it seems to have been specifically for Peter's benefit. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus turned his attention directly to Peter. Since Peter's fall, although Jesus had met him at least 3 times before this, the matter had not been mentioned. Although Peter sinned, he could repent and be restored as an apostle. He did repent. He turned again, Luke 22:31-32. Immediately after he had denied his Lord and Jesus had given him such a reproving look, he went out and wept bitterly. Luke 22:61-62. When Jesus foretold of Peter's fall, he also predicted his restoration and laid upon him the obligation to strengthen his brethren. This obligation is renewed here in these words, "Feed my lambs." Peter was suited to be a leader, but few men are. Most people must be led, hence the importance of wise, safe, God-fearing leaders. Peter was bold and courageous, the first to speak and act. He was also impulsive and rash, but tempered in the furnaces of experience and discipline. He became wiser and was better prepared for his life's work. He needed, too, to be assured by his Lord that he had been restored to his former position. Jesus was as kind to Peter as he was to Thomas, only he dealt with Peter in a different way. It may be significant that Jesus here addressed Peter as Simon, son of John, the name by which he was first called, John 1:24, and not as Peter, a stone. He'd shown himself too weak to be called a stone. When Jesus first called Peter to be an apostle, it was just after a miraculous drought of fishes, Luke 5:1-11, and now he calls him a second time under similar circumstances. 3 times Peter had denied his Lord, and 3 times he here avowed his love. What does Jesus mean by the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Well, scholars differ as to what "these" refer to. Some say it refers to the fishes and the bread. If so, then Jesus meant to ask Peter if he would forsake all things and suffer hunger and want for his sake. Others think it refers to the other disciples. If so, Jesus meant to ask if Peter loved him more than the other disciples loved him. If the latter is the meaning, then it was a reproof to Peter's boasted love heretofore, while now he could not know the depth of the love others had for Jesus, neither did he know it before, when he declared that although all should forsake Jesus, he would not, but he would die first. He once declared that he loved his master more than these other disciples. Now, since he had thrice denied the Lord, what does he think about it? He no longer boasts of his love or compares it with that of others, but appeals to the Lord's own divine knowledge in the condition of his heart. "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Indeed, the Lord knew Peter's heart and assigned him to the work. This is the test of love. John 14:15, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." "Feed my lambs," Jesus said. Lambs are the young and tender in Christ. Whether they be old in years or not, it is more difficult to give suitable spiritual food to strengthen and edify the lambs of Jesus than it is to find fault, to scold, or to rule. Carping criticism is not edification, comfort, and consolation. The question was asked by the Lord a second time, and Peter answered in the same way. This time Jesus replied, "Tend my sheep." There is a difference between feed and tend. Tend means the shepherd. It includes the feeding, but means more. It means to watch, to guard, to guide. Peter, who so well understood this, exhorted the elders to tend the flock of God, exercising the oversight thereof. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. At first Jesus said Peter should become a fisher of men. Here he makes him a shepherd. Later on, Peter spoke of himself as an elder. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. It's one thing to induce people to enter the kingdom. It is another thing to lead them as godly shepherds into the green pastures of truth and beside the still waters of peace. Many hold meetings, as it is called, to induce people to come into the church or to become babes. But few will remain with weak congregations to build them up. For the third time, Jesus asked Peter this question. The Lord, it seems, intended that Peter should avow his love as openly as he had repeatedly as he had denied him. Two different Greek words are used for love in these verses. The first one, agapeo, which was used by Jesus, is the stronger and means to love founded on admiration, veneration, esteem, unselfish love given of choice, devotion. Such love God manifested for the world in the gift of His Son. Such love Jesus manifested in His life of toil, in His death on the cross. Such is commanded toward our neighbors and our enemies. It means action, duty, service, to regard the welfare of all, to wish well, to exhibit freely goodwill toward all. Love as an animal passion is a different thing. As an animal instinct, passion, or impulse, it cannot be commanded. God commands concerning it is to control it and to use it the right way. The second word, phileo, which was used by Peter, means to love prompted by sense and emotion, such as friends feel for friends, to be friendly, to be attached to long for. You might want to consult some Greek English lexicon in the New Testament for these words. In this connection, Jesus twice used the stronger word, but Peter modestly replied with the latter. Then Jesus asked the third question, dropped the stronger word, and adopted the one used by Peter, as much to say, Peter, are you sure that you have for me even that love which you declare? Peter was grieved because Jesus, in asking this question the third time, seemed to doubt his love. Again, Peter, enlarging upon Christ's knowledge, said the third time, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. And again, Jesus applies the test. Feed my sheep. This grief was good for Peter. He doubtless felt the shame of his denial. He's no longer boastful, and his rashness is gone. He is wiser and stronger by discipline. Simon has come again to be a stone, Peter. And he goes on bravely to duty and finally to death. That is the end of that Sunday school lesson. And it also ends the series that we've had on the book of John. On the following page in this little Sunday school book, we're going to begin a new series called Messages from Genesis, and it will be the story of the creation. I'm going to look at the index here in this book and the time we have left and see what we're going to cover in this new series, Messages from Genesis. We have the story of creation, the beginning of sin, the story of Cain and Abel, God's covenant with Noah, Abram and the kings, Abraham and the strangers, Isaac and his wells, Jacob at Bethel, Jacob and Esau, Jacob's fidelity, Judah's plea, and then a review. Well, this looks like an interesting series.